foretold and foresaw and got very excited about. And we're living in the glory of that temple. That your word says the glory of the latter house will supersede and proceed and be greater than the glory of the former house. So we thank you, Lord, as a body here, bricks cemented in bricks, lintels, door frames, trusses, beams, columns, tiles, cemented together in the unity of the Spirit. A house where you come and dwell. A house where you invade by your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, be welcome here this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't God good? We had a wonderful couple of weeks in the life of the church. It feels like the waves are swelling and we're catching one wave, and when we look again, we're on the next wave. And before we got time to paddle, we're on the next wave. It just seems like the gaps between waves have got shorter and shorter, and there's no dilly-dallying around. It just seems to be God is just one thing, one refreshing after the next. We had a wonderful last week, as many of you will have remembered. It seems like it was long ago, but it was only a week ago. But I think what maybe made it busy was that there were a team of us that went away this last week to Emanguzi. All those who know where Emanguzi is, all those who've been to Emanguzi, keep your hand up. Quite a few, a couple of us. So we know it's just kind of there, Cozy Bay, towards the border of Mozambique. And there's a group of pastors there and some wonderful churches that from the days that Keir was working in there, and Terry and the team with him that are still up there this weekend, have kept on those relationships for many years. And we did a trip a few months ago to go up and meet with the leaders. And they just love the message of grace. They're saying, this is what we intuitively have always believed, but there's a lot of religion in our camps. And a lot of the Zionist influence, which is the biggest African church, and some of the other churches are so steeped still in ancestral worship and many other sacrificial things that they've imported and imbibed into their churches that are still part of the culture and tradition. And they desperately want to break free into the freedom of this new covenant. And they invited Rob last year. A whole crowd of their leaders were at the conference last year at the Grace and Glory. And we met with them for coffee. And they said, please, is there any chance we could have a conference in Manguzi? And well, it worked out. It worked out, and there were a great group of leaders. But the guys that are here this morning that came on the trip, Gareth, Andrew, is Blue here? Blue come. Sandile is not here. The other guys all stayed up there. They're ministering in different churches this morning. And it was just so, a church, you can be proud of the guys that go from this church. There was a team, I don't know how many of us were there, but they would make you proud. We prayed last Sunday after the service, and we just saw the hand of God in the lives of those leaders, just in the social times and the fellowship. Rob got to preach 6 sessions, unlike here we only had time, we only did 3. But of course, it's through interpreters, so takes a lot longer to get through the session. But you guys did well. I was very embarrassed on the first day. I'm introducing everyone. I'm so proud of myself. I'm getting all the names right. I'm introducing as they stand up, and some of the pastors that came down from Joburg. And I get to Andrew, and I look at him, and I get James come in my head. And the more I'm trying to get rid of James, the more I'm opening my mouth to change feet. But it's, so brother, I nearly forgot to introduce you, brother. And by then it was too late. So Andrew, maybe you, should we let girls go first? Or are you going to go first? Blue. And I also want to say that, Blue and who else helped you with the book?
We've helped with the book, the translation.
Is there any help with the book? The translation. And who else? Zanelli and Ronnie have translated our story, Highway to Grace, into Zulu. So I was able to take a transcript of our book for the key leaders up there and give them each a copy. And I've asked them to read it and then give me feedback and to write an endorsement like our book had, so that we can, when we reprint it, we reprint one in Zulu. And what's going to be very helpful is that the pastors who love the message, who've been listening to it now for a few years, are also in a journey, but they can identify with some of our story, but in their own language. So well done to you guys. You want to say something?
Yeah, I really had a wonderful time at Pimlinguzi. Experienced thick glory. It was just amazing and magnificent, and saw a lot of miracles, which was a first for me, like tangible, like manifestations of God. And I felt really like blessed to be there, and the people around, like beautiful, beautiful people. And I just grew a lot spiritually.
Lovely. Thanks.
I'm playing soccer this afternoon with the youth guys, just by the way. Yes. Thank you, Jim. It was a really, really awesome time. Coming back off the conference was quite crazy, but it was amazing how just God worked through everything, and like from minor details to feeding everyone who was there, just organizing a whole worship team. Everything just went so effortlessly, and we put on a brilliant, brilliant conference for them. And yeah, just really what stood out to me was the message that Rob brought in terms of African theology. Like it really, you know, ancestral worship, praying to the ancestors, sacrificing. And he preached an amazing session on all of that. And I've never heard anything that clear, which is so relevant to our country and just where our church is located. So yeah, it was just an amazing time.
Amen. Thanks, guys. Yeah, tell you, when revival comes to the Zulu, revival will come to Natal. And when revival comes to Natal, watch out South Africa. Simple as that. And these are our key, strong leaders with great churches. And they're just so tender. But you never came with. So shall I let Janet say something? All right.
I don't want to hijack Steve's preaching time. Just really what God showed me, for me it was a bit of a revelation, just the whole thing of mixing law and grace, is the Zionists are not unsaved Christians. For many years I've said, no, they're a cult because of the animal sacrifices. And God clearly showed me, those people love me. He said, but they are mixing law and grace to its extreme. So there isn't a differentiation. You're either mixing law or grace or you aren't. And many of us are mixing law and grace. Not us. Some of us are still mixing law and grace. And you might not be doing the animal sacrifice, but when you're making sacrifices on your personal behalf to please God, it's as good as an animal sacrifice because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice.
Someone thinking, let her preach, Pastor. Yeah. We're going to take up the offering, so yay! Want to say thanks for your generosity over the last year. We also made budget at the conference, which was great. We were a bit nervous because in the past we took up registration, and that this year we decided not to. In the process, we were left a little nervous what would happen. But we did make budget, the same as we did last year with the registration. So praise God for that. And Father, we thank you for the offering as we bring it this morning, for the gospel that will be preached in this place, in our generation and in the next, should you tarry. Lord, that we will see the kingdom proclaimed in this place. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Also, just to throw a quick advert in here, Ryan's recent book, After the Revolution, just a great practical book around the teachings of grace. It's kind of a must-have. If you've got Joseph Prince's book, Destined to Reign, and you've got Highway to Grace, this will make your collection complete. It really is a kind of a growth stage of what we're talking about. So just encourage you, if you haven't got that. Also to say, you know, I sort of agree with Janet. The content isn't new for us. It's been a journey that we've been on for a few years now. And I found myself, for me, the highlight was just sitting here on Sunday morning. And I just felt such a clarity coming with the message. And my mind went back 5 years to Hong Kong, 2008, when we went there for the first time and sat under Rob's ministry. And I thought to myself this last Sunday, if I knew then what was about to happen, and some of the changes, and some of the misunderstandings, and some of the transitions, and some of the mistakes, and some of the ugly stuff that had to come out of us, and in my own life, and many, just stuff that we had to deal with, would I have gone through the journey? And I felt myself sitting on Sunday morning go, yes. Without a doubt. And so what was it? The content was very much similar to what we've had. But there seemed to be a clarity with the message. It reminded me a bit of in the summer months when my pool pH doesn't stabilize. I can throw truckloads of chlorine into my swimming pool and it just goes dull green. But there's something about when the pH is right, and especially this time of the year when the temperature is right, I can just sprinkle half a cup of chlorine once every second week and my water stays crystal. What is that? You see, spiritually speaking, it's a bit like there's an atmosphere around us all the time. There's a temperature, a spiritual climate. And when that climate is right, you get someone coming up here and just sprinkling a little bit of the word, and you can feel the change it's making. It's disproportional to the years ago when we had to hear over and over, hours and hours and hours, 4 days in a row, morning, afternoon, evening, morning, afternoon, evening. And suddenly we have a conference and we have three sessions. And at the very first session, there's just clarity. What is that? I want to just kind of run over a few highlights, maybe a few things. From Thursday night, in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And down verse 21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Say righteousness. Righteousness of God. And the Thursday night, Rob just unpacked a little bit of Hebrews, Romans, Galatians, and again, just clearly dividing the old and new covenants. Always remembering that we honor every word of Jesus. But every word of Jesus was for us, not always to us. And if we get the covenants wrong, we can get what he's saying wrong, and we can live under guilt and condemnation. The words that Jesus spoke through the Apostle Paul were as much Jesus' words when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. It's not that's Jesus speaking and now that's Paul speaking. It's the same gospel from the old covenant into the new covenant. And there was just a clarity that came with that. Secondly, so it was clearly dividing the old and the new covenant. Secondly, understanding the purpose of the law. The law had a purpose. And if you understand the right purpose, remember that illustration with the shoe hammering in a nail? It can get the job done, but it's not the right purpose. Rob shared this illustration in Manguzi, and I think in the translation it got a bit mixed up. It didn't come across as clear. And when he had finished with saying, no, a shoe, you got to wear a shoe for its purpose and a hammer for its purpose. You don't, you know, take a shoe and knock a nail in a wall, and you don't take a hammer and beat your husband up with it. And the place went very quiet. We're just worried that the headlines are going to be in the newspaper this week. You know, wives beat husbands up with hammers after attending conference. Anyway, so everything's got a purpose. A hammer's got a purpose. A shoe's got a purpose. The law had a purpose. It had a reason, and you've got to understand the reason for. My goal here wasn't to re-preach these points, just to highlight them. But thirdly, to understand the new creation righteousness. In Christ, we are one new man, and now we no longer live under guilt, fear, and condemnation. I think once we get the clarity of correctly dividing these covenants, you're on the road to interpreting, reading the message of the gospel correctly. Friday night, we jumped straight into Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. I thought this was a good transition from laying the foundations again of acceptance, grace, of righteousness, and just looking at how we can spur one another on. That's something we have to continually do in each other's lives. How do we spur, what do we spur one another on to? And there were many points, and we won't go into all of them, but let me list them. Fruitful lives, spiritual maturity, renewing of the mind, increased effectiveness, prospering, understanding finances, how finances work in the kingdom, well-being in our souls, living with eternal rewards in mind. I really felt that on Friday night, some practical outworking and administrating of the new creation was put in place. That God has called us to be fruitful. You know, when He saved you, He loved you just like you are, and He's going to always love you just as you are. But He loves us too much to leave us that way. He wants us to walk in fruitfulness. He wants us to walk in abundance. He wants us to increase in our faith and understanding how to access everything He's provided. And that second to last point, well-being in our souls, there were seven levels of that that he addressed around. Is it well with your soul? And then onto all that produced out of that mature personality, wholeness, the whole list of them. But it starts with a wellness in the soul. It starts with a sense of, I'm at peace with God. God is good. I have this wonderful relationship that's unearned, undeserved, unmerited, and it's well with my soul. And that changes the way we approach a whole lot of things in the church, because when we have to spur one another on and exhort and encourage one another in these various areas, the first thing we have to go to is it well here? Because if we start putting attendance, ideas on people's minds and holding them accountable to external things, and it's not well with the soul, it's just going to become rules and laws, self-effort and works again. But when it's well with our soul, and I understand, I give because I'm blessed. I'm fruitful because of who lives in me. I'm prospering because the Father is entrusting worldly wealth to me because He wants to ultimately trust spiritual wealth to me. My mind is being renewed. You see, when it's well here in my soul, I can take correction. I can take rebuke. I can take spurring and encouraging. I don't look at it negatively. I don't read it through cracked lenses of past hurts and bad leadership experiences and mixture of law and grace. When I'm whole, when my soul is in a place of well-being, spur me on. And I can spur you on. The Saturday night, we kind of came into the last session, and I just love the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I love the fact that in one of Paul's letter, Corinthians, he ends and he says, "Now may the love of God and grace of our Lord Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit." I think I've got that right. The way around. Yes. You see, every good thing came from our Father. Jesus wasn't on earth trying to pacify an angry God. All good things came from the Father's heart. But they had to be worked out through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But it's only as we come into fellowship with the Holy Spirit do we access and enjoy, work out what He's got for us, what He accomplished on the cross. We can sit here and admire what Jesus did. We can talk about it. We can write books about all the good things He did. But until we understand that we are in Him and He's in us, and the same Spirit that was in Him is in us, the same Spirit that raised Him, anyone's joined to the Lord is one Spirit with Him. Only when we begin fellowshipping and cooperating and enjoying the presence of the Holy Spirit does it become real. Paul in Galatians 3 verse 1 says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I'd like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human efforts?" And then he goes on and he unpacks that, and ends in chapter 5, where he speaks again about the work of the Spirit. In verse 25, and says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." This is the life we call to. Do you want to know how to keep the pH right? Do you want to know how to keep the temperature right? Stay in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Keep praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep aware to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Listen to those little whispers. You know, when Jesus was on earth, He limited Himself. Although it was God, Emmanuel, in the flesh, and a fully man, fully God, Jesus on earth limited Himself as a new creation, born-again Christian would live. And every step of the way, the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit filled. The Holy Spirit spoke. The Holy Spirit led. The Holy Spirit came. And He said to His followers, "He's coming. I'm with you as a man living in dependence on the Spirit of God. But when He comes, He will lead you into all truth." And Paul says here, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." That's what's going to keep the pH right. As we keep on preaching on the love of God, as we keep on preaching on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we keep in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This time we had you this morning, I'm telling you what, there was a ministry in the Spirit taking place. We get together, we're not just singing a few songs and getting through a program. I tell you what, we are assembling as the body, the local body, in this house, and we are saying the same fire that fell on the earthly tabernacle, temple, let it fall in this place. I found myself sitting here last Sunday morning and just looking around and saying, "God, this is so beautiful. It was almost a highlight for me Sunday morning. Because the Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night teaching, although they were short and only evening, it sort of landed in the local church on Sunday morning. It wasn't just attending some conference or tuning in to some podcast or listening or attending some seminar or conference somewhere. It was about the local church that God is prepared for His love, that He's massaging His grace, that He's fellowshipping with in the Holy Spirit. And something happened on Sunday morning. I looked around and I felt like something set in the Spirit. I felt like there was a healthy pH level that we have entered into right now. That if the Holy Spirit just comes and sprinkles a little bit of something, it's going to affect the whole body. It's not going to be months of laboring and beating and bashing, and then you get momentum of 30, 40 people. It's going to be quick momentum. It's going to be the technical term, mass, critical mass, inertia. It's going to come quickly. That's what I'm feeling prophetically about these waves that are coming faster and faster. It's because the pH level is right. There's still some chlorine around in our lives. Did I say chlorine? There's still some algae hanging around in some corners here and there. But the Word of God is going to be effective quickly. And as I saw, as elders, our relationship with Rob, as someone we recognize as apostolic, with a bunch of guys around him, forming a kind of a team of ministry. As the elders stood up here last Sunday and we called the life group leaders up, the leaders in the house who are helping us shepherd and undergird. I know we've vacillated between what do we call them? Are they deacons? Are they this? Are they that? We're not sure what to call you, so we'll just call you a big mess without Jesus. And as the leaders stood up here and we started praying and we walked down and we prayed, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was just smiling all over this place. Like there was something so fresh. It was such a highlight for me. And not just for the elders and their relationship with an apostolic team, but the leaders together releasing the priesthood of the believers. So maybe, can I have those points come up as I've been speaking through them? And the priesthood of all believers. Elders relating, priesthood of all believers. And what are the three areas that need to be taken care of in the house? If I were to get up here this morning, X6 style, and say, as the numbers are increasing, as we giving ourselves to ministry, so that we don't have to forsake the ministry of the word and prayer, let me throw this ball at you. What are the things that have got to take place in this church? What have you got to give yourselves to as a priesthood that have got to happen in this house? I would say it's caring, it's maturing, and it's outreaching. If you as a priest in this house, a royal priest, had to say, what's my part in either seeing this body cared for, and that includes the poor, it includes the widows and orphans, see this body mature, I think that's been very much a theme from the beginning of this year, seeing the body built up and strengthened. And then that we don't just become navel-gazing, holy huddle, only looking after ourselves, but that we're always looking for opportunities to see the unreached come to Christ. And then finally, that we are missional, a mission-minded church. And with that, I go full circle back to listening to these testimonies here this morning. We had an opportunity to pray last Sunday, and we partnered with a team going from this church to an area where they are so desperate and hungry for the teaching of God's Word. Some of the pastors are saying, don't give us another tent revival with loudspeakers and someone who runs up and down and gets tangled in the microphone wire. We've had it for 50 years now. What we need is solid teaching in the Word to bring our people to freedom. I'm not disregarding evangelistic campaigns. Thank God for them. You can't clean the fish if they don't get caught. But you can't just keep catching fish. At some stage, we've got to help people to grow into the truths of the gospel. These things we've been talking about here. I would like to say, I could call out any 10 people, because as I'm preaching, I'm looking up and down, I kind of got a good knowledge of who's here this morning. I could call on any group of 10 people sitting together, take you, and there would be enough biblical knowledge and enough biblical substance, enough wisdom in the things of God for you to take 80% of the pastors in rural areas beyond where they currently are. And that's not an arrogance. There's areas they'll take us, but in the area of teaching the Word and church working out practical stuff, you're not just a spectator on the bus. And when we prayed for this group that were going to Manguzi this week, you came with us. You partnered. Why? Because we are a missional church. We're a church that's serious about the Great Commission. We are a church that's serious about this message. Amen? And I thank God for those with an apostolic heart like Bill. Like Bill, who's been away for 3 weeks. Hey, bud, welcome back. And Terry, who's got such a... I mean, these guys see Terry come. These pastors see him coming. They just drop everything and run, and he hugs them. They love him. Andrew, hey? I don't do that in my own church. I'm not like a really huggy kind of guy, but I mean, he's got such an amazing relationship with these guys, and I've seen Bill also out in the field. And I thank God because we're not all called to be missionaries or apostolic, which I think is synonymous with missionary. But we're not all called to be that, but the church is called to support that. And I'm really excited about these next couple of months, even the next year and years, because I know there's an outreach planned every second month. A weekend here, a few days there, a local trip that's inexpensive. A trip into Africa that's maybe a little bit more costly. That people can pray about and say, God, how do you want me to partner? Do you want me to partner through prayer, through giving, through attendance? But having said that, do yourself a favor and at least do one trip. Because it will change a lot of how you see. Blue, I don't think you're going to ever be the same again. Where's Blue? Okay, she's gone to Kids Zone, to Blue Zone. And just saw in her eyes, she just came alive. Wow. This is what happens. So, all I've really done this morning is say, time out, church. Let's take a deep breath. Let's not run ahead too fast. We've just come out of a high impact, high powered 10 days. And the week before that, us being away with pastors, with Rob from around the country. And let's not just rush into our next program and our next series and our next this or that. But let's cement something of what's happened. It says in Acts chapter 6 that there were teachers and prophets amongst them. And they came together and they were worshiping God and praying and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said. Acts 13, thanks, Paul. And the Holy Spirit said. So in a climate of the pH level as it is right now, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Because there was teaching in Acts 13 there, in that church, in the church at Antioch. There was teaching, there was the prophetic, they were praying, they were worshiping. But it didn't stop there. It says the Holy Spirit said. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? In light of these things, in light of this local church, can I leave you with one more question? I wish you could write this down in your mind and not forget it and take it with you. And tomorrow morning, remember it. If you don't, maybe James will put it on the website. Without all the complicated way of finding where it is, just a simple. I'll ask you this question. What are the three things that you're going to give your energy to in the life of this church to see those things happen in the next 3 months? What are the three things you're going to give your energy to in the next 3 months to see these things happen? What are you going to give your energy to? What three things in the next 3 months? Let's stand up. Lord, we thank you. I want to, Dom, are you still with us? Just come up quickly, man. I want to sing Blessed Be His Name one more time. Can we finished a bit early, so we got a minute or two. I want to sing that one more time. I just...